got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're tuned in to the Gangster Chronicles with James McDonald, Reggie Wright Jr., and Alex Alonzo on the Digital Soapbox Network.
I have a material witness on an aggravated battery. With a handgun, and they believe this might be in retaliation to her testimony.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Gangster Chronicles. My name is Alex Alonso. You may be aware of Street TV, StreetGangs.com, and I'm here with my co-host,
James McDonald.
And James, this is episode 34. And for all you listeners out there, if you're new to the podcast, please go back and listen to some of the previous ones. Last week we had Mafia, I guess you call him Colombo family associate Ori Spado. And if you haven't heard that one, go check that one out and listen to any of the other previous ones. And if you are listening to this podcast on Apple, iTunes, please give us a rating and review so that we can continue bringing you this show each and every week. Give us a rating from 1 to 5, 5 meaning that you love this show. And in addition to rating the show, you could leave us a comment or a question. And if it's a question of value, we will ask it on the air. And also cut and paste the link to this show or this episode and share it to one or two of your friends in your contacts. And for those who do not have Apple, we're also on Google Play, Samsung, and Android users. And we're also, actually, our largest audience is listening to us on Spotify, and we're also on radio.com. And you could also listen to this podcast, The Gangster Chronicles, the way my mom listens to it, by going to Siri and saying, play my son's podcast, The Gangster Chronicles, and you can listen to it that way. And we also have video portions of this podcast posted on the Digital Soapbox Network on YouTube with videos produced by Smooth Cut Productions. And James, they can find you on Facebook at James
Big
McDonald.
3636.
No, that's your
on Facebook. Yeah,
that's your Instagram.
James McDonald.
Yeah, but there's a lot of James McDonald, so I always tell people.
You find the one with the red Harley.
There you go.
That's me.
And then also BIGGJ3636 on Instagram. And you can find me at AlexAlonso101 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And let's go right into the episode. We got a special guest this week. And I'm sure everybody knows who he is. This brother actually ran track in high school. He had to be one of the fastest dudes because he actually ended up going to a Division I school.
Yes.
Arizona State. And the brother also actually has a podcast. I just listened to a couple episodes. He was talking about CBD on his last episode.
Yes.
He is probably the most street comedian that there is. Yes. I was going through my my file and my Rolodex, and I'm thinking, who else is more street than this brother here? And I couldn't come up with anybody. Right. And I would have to say he's one of the most vocal dudes if you ever listen to his interviews on various platforms on the internet.
For real.
And the brother is TK Kirkland, man. Thanks for coming to the show, man.
Love in the building.
Man, and I'm going to be honest, man. It ain't too many brothers I listen to.
Yes, sir.
That I'm going to get that vibe with.
Yes.
And have an understanding of what they're saying, and I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yes, sir.
I was listening to your shows with Vlad, just you speaking,
yes,
and then just talking about certain individuals. Man, it grabbed me because it ain't too many brothers out there just going to really give you the real shit.
Yes, sir.
With an understanding.
Yes, sir.
And I love that about you. You know, we was just sitting here when you walked in, and I was telling them, this brother right here, Brian, right, that, man, I'm sitting there listening, and I'm driving with my earplugs in the car, and I'm like, okay, I got this.
Yes.
Simple questions. Straight up answers.
Yes, sir.
And that's what I like about you, my
that's
brother.
That's what I try to do.
100.
And I try to hold people, you know, in life as we get older, we see things that bother us and we see things out. As men, we have to, as men, you really got to speak up.
You got to.
Because if you don't do that, the generation is going to just evaporate without real men stepping up the game and teaching the youngsters.
Exactly.
Teaching our young women how to move through this thing called life. And like, when I drive through, I'm not in L.A. that much, but when I come, I'm usually in Woodland Hills.
Yeah.
And today I had to do some business down in, had to do Adam 22 to jump.
Yeah.
No jumper.
Yeah.
No jumper. And I get off the exit and I see the homeless situation. Now, I've been reading about it around the world.
It's crazy.
And me and my son was talking about this not too long ago about, he said, Dad, you know, I'm all for capitalism, but they need to have capitalism, what's the word that we used? Regulated to a certain point, because what's going on is that we're being pushed out by expenses. Right?
Yeah.
We're getting pushed out by expenses because they can't afford it.
Exactly.
And I think some things just shouldn't be so damn much.
Man.
It's insane.
Yeah. I've been doing my Christmas shopping, and I just went down here to JCPenney's.
Yes.
One shirt, a kid's shirt, was $47.
That's insane.
This is in a black neighborhood, though, in Baldwin Hills.
Right.
Why is this shirt so goddamn much?
This is a little kid finna wear that. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But they do that so they won't get all of those, all the black people coming in and shopping. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, like Denny's. Mm-hmm. Some of the Denny's are so damn expensive. Wait a minute, I can go right here to Lakewood and get this same meal for $5.99. Why is it $16, $17 here?
It has to be regular.
They don't want you in there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And this is what we need to understand. We need to buy a Denny's, put it in our own shit,
right,
and then do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we don't do that.
Yeah, it's not really our fault. The government, let me explain to you what I mean. I think you'll understand. People don't understand how, people don't really understand what the government has truly done to America.
Wow.
It goes that deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talk about how the gay situation's gotten out of hand. Men not thinking the way they're supposed to think. Religion, because religion plays an important part. Most older people say, oh, that's something to control the slaves, right? Religion was used to control our ancestors. But if we didn't have religion, this world would be even more chaotic.
We wouldn't have nothing.
We won't have nothing.
We wouldn't have nothing.
So I was talking earlier about what Lyndon Johnson did in the 50s. And I want to talk about it on your show. See, what most people don't know, when people say that they're gay or choose to be gay.
Now tell us who Lyndon B. Johnson is, because a lot of young people don't even know who this guy is.
You don't know who the fuck Lyndon Johnson is. I'm gonna smash you in your fucking head.
If you're probably under 40 years old, you probably never heard of Lyndon B. Johnson.
Isn't that crazy?
It is. You know,
Lyndon Johnson is the president. I don't know which number, though. I could be honest with you, but I know he was the president of the United States in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Lyndon Johnson.
Yeah.
Lyndon Johnson passed a bill that changed the world, and it was called the 501c3. The 501c3...
That's the nonprofit bill?
It's the nonprofit bill that pastors sign so they would have to pay taxes on the church.
On their buildings, yeah.
So they sold souls for lives, right? So what they did was they can't talk about the election, they can't talk about abortion, and they can't talk about gay situations in the church. Now, the root to church is black families. So because we got away from the Bible, I'm not a religious dude. I'm a man of principle.
But don't you think all that's changed now?
No, I'm saying they out here doing what they want to do.
Exactly.
It's, nobody's respecting. Nobody has morals. Nobody has principles anymore.
Just about the money.
It's just about the money.
Just about the money.
And it's going to blow eventually. Everything comes to a head. And this thing is going to go to a level that it almost happened in 08 when the real estate market bust.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was losing their job. And the people did. Some people got back on their feet. And some people didn't.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to go, just through shows like this, to teach our fans, to teach people to understand, one, if you can go get a skill, more so than go to college. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. College is going to put you in debt. You go to college, if you don't know exactly what the fuck you're doing, when you walk through that door, you're going to get in debt.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right? And now you got 30, 40 years to pay back a debt that has you in the hole. But if you go get a skill, you can work immediately. And that's what I want people to start doing, get a skill and learn about this technology thing, because I do a lot of research on how these companies are getting robots to drive. Yo, you see it?
Yeah. Well, isn't Amazon going to have drones drop off the mail soon?
Amazon is going to be dropping off the fucking mail.
With drones.
With drones. Not even drones. They're going to have robots.
Mm-hmm. Somebody going to be shooting them up.
This is
out
insane.
That ain't going to last.
I went down Crenshaw the other day. Crenshaw's like Universal fucking Studios.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they want to make it look like in probably 5 years after what that train is done.
We're trying to understand. What I'm trying to get people to understand, even Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick.
We don't own the field. See, so when you don't own the field, you got to play by the rules.
Exactly.
Get what you want.
Yeah.
You got to play by the fucking rules.
Is that what I was just telling you?
You got to play by the rules,
yo. It's a time to stop talking because your way didn't work.
Right.
You've been out 3 years. So now that they're allowing you to come back, there's nothing to talk about.
There's nothing to talk about.
Stop talking and play football.
Yes. And you know what he's not understanding, you're 30-something years old. He ain't 30-something.
Yeah. 32.
32 years old.
It's a group of college kids coming.
Waiting.
That's graduating in the... Yo.
He need to grab hold to
well,
what he
he's,
have
he's definitely better than at least a dozen quarterbacks right now, though.
Let me explain to you what the issue here is. He doesn't own the NFL. No black person owns the NFL, right? No team. So we don't call the shots.
Exactly.
That's the problem that people are not understanding. We could talk all we want. We don't own we don't own nothing.
But isn't the NFL exposing themselves though by not even putting this guy in a squad?
No, my man.
You know this guy's got talent.
Listen
so
to what I'm saying. You got to really understand. We don't own the NFL. They don't give a fuck.
Basically,
that's the thing but
we're
gotta,
not in a position.
I know, but we
to say I want this and give it to me. We don't hold that.
It's
we
not
don't possess
shit.
That.
But look, when the NFL employs 70% of its players are black.
I'm not even gonna let you have this conversation.
You know what I'm saying?
There
needs to be more pressure put on the NFL owners.
I'm not gonna let you have this conversation with me.
And then what happens with that?
Yeah, you don't.
You're gonna
understand.
Be just like him,
right.
Sitting on the sideline because you trying to prove a point.
Well, come then on, what do we do? Sit back and don't do nothing?
Listen
and
to
the NFL,
say,
play football, get the millions of dollars and say fuck.
Listen to what I'm about to tell you, my man. And I got to be brutal.
I actually read one of your quotes.
Yeah, I got to be brutal. Black people can't do a motherfucking thing.
I don't believe that.
Listen to what I'm telling you.
We'd still be slaves then.
Listen to me.
We'd still be slaves
no.
if you.
We
if,
only got to a certain point. Watch where I'm going.
We'd still be picking cotton if we didn't.
No.
If we thought that way in 1860.
We can't pass gun reform.
That's true. Unless you get elected.
Listen to what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Can't do it. Obama was in there. He ain't do shit. When they talk about gun control around this country, all they saying is we're going to put more black people in prison. When they talk about getting permits and all that, that ain't helping the white people. Parkland, the biggest thing that happened in the last 366 gun shootings happened this year. NRA is not passing no gun control. They don't give a fuck. But people don't even understand. I talk about this in my show, how it all started. You know? It all started with the Black Panthers with gun control. Did you know that?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. They went up to California.
No, yeah. Sacramento.
No, it was Oakland.
But they went into Sacramento
no,
with the shotguns.
It was Oakland. Oakland was protecting the Black Panthers was protecting their community because corrupted cops. And Ronald Reagan passed the law.
Yeah.
For the NRA. This is how all this shit started. Because when black people get together, it scares white people.
That it do.
It scares them.
And it was legal what they did in 1968, 69.
And here's what I'm trying to say. We don't control no law. We ain't sitting up and making no laws. When they passed law, I can name a couple that fucked up America. Conspiracy law with the that by itself. Cop can just walk down the street and say you got something, and they snatch your ass up, and you do 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
Conspiracy. We got to stop thinking that these white people or this government owes us something. They don't owe us a
motherfucking man, that is
thing.
So true, because...
So what do we do, TK?
You play the... You got... It's called strategy. It's called telesis. Let's use that word. Telesis.
Mm-hmm.
It means progress intelligently planned. And you got to understand, like Nipsey said, it's a marathon. Let me explain to you what I mean. Okay, they got, like, it's like a race. The white generation got us the first 300 years, right? But we take care of our family. We teach them knowledge. We give them the game. They pass the baton to their children. So guess what? The next 300 years, we can go stride for stride with them. It's a race. You understand what I'm saying? The earth, the world is billions of years old. We got to stop thinking that this shit is just the day or tomorrow. No one thinks about down the line.
It's basically, and this is my theory.
Yes, sir.
Playing the game. You got to understand the game with the police.
Yes, sir.
They have the pen. If you go against the pen, you're not going to win. Not one time. Because they write what they want.
They write what they want.
When you start understanding they're going to write what they want, you're going to shut the fuck up. They can't write shit you didn't say.
And if your money's not right,
you ain't no
done.
Good.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
You ain't no good. So you got to play this game.
You
got to. If you don't
strategy.
Play the game and you're trying to go against it, the only way you go against that, you out there robbing motherfuckers.
Yep.
You out there doing something wrong to go to jail.
Yes.
And that's where they want us. Man, you got to look. Everything in the neighborhood is a liquor store.
Yes, sir.
Is some shit to keep us drunk.
Yep.
It's some shit to keep us fighting each other.
Yep.
Alcohol gonna fuck us up every time.
Every time.
Stop going to the motherfucking liquor stores. Burn them motherfuckers
totally
down.
And you see what else they putting in the black community?
What?
The plasma company.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Get your blood.
And
that shit ain't no
motherfuckers
Beverly
going
Hills.
To that shit like
they
crazy.
Going to it because they selling blood.
Shh.
They selling blood, man.
TK, if you don't see, if you see go to them blood banks.
I see it.
And you see the motherfuckers that getting it, they all, you see people getting skinnier and skinnier.
I think CVS has a thing where they take your blood.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They getting it's sad. They going there for dollars, and they only doing it in black communities.
It's sad.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean when you say, "What do we do?"
But in the NFL example, though, what do you? Oh, my question was, what do we do in the NFL example, though?
The NFL is get your money, take care of your family, and keep it motherfucking moving. Because here's the reality: in 10, 15 years, nobody's gonna give a fuck. Okay, somebody will say to you, "Oh, I like what you did for the people."
10, 15 years, shit.
Yeah, they'll tell you.
You've been gone 3 and they're giving the fuck
now. They'll pat you on the back. And we have examples of how people don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Let me explain to you what I mean. You got Malcolm X as an example. You got Martin Luther King as an example that people don't give. People really give a fuck. They won't be doing the things that they're doing today in this world.
Exactly.
You got from Martin Luther King down to Nipsey of our own kind destroying each other, right? The goal, you could only go to war if your paper's right. Your paper is get the money, put your kids to good schools, give them the game. They pass it to the next generation. And you try to keep your kids safe. You can't go toe-to-toe with the machine.
Well, it's hard to keep your kids safe now because they got this law where you can't whoop your kid ass. You cannot
so
discipline your kid.
It's all a setup.
So
I agree.
They took that from us.
Yep.
And you know, my brother, prime example. They was trying to give him, excuse me, 27 years for disciplining a kid that was ready to fight him. If you can't discipline him and you know you're going to jail,
yes,
that leaves your kid in the street.
Absolutely right.
So now he's at a point where either I'm going to continue to chastise his ass and fuck what they talking about, or I'm just going to let him go.
Yes. And that's what they want.
You're going to let him go because...
You can't go to prison.
I'm not going to prison for my child.
No, you can't do that.
So now what do you do if you can't chastise your kid?
I totally agree, my man.
You got to be able to chastise
ass whoopings. When they went out of style, that's why this generation is acting the way... I'm telling you, we need... You know how we turned out?
Yeah.
Respect is everything. I was at the airport in Vegas, yo. The young man was late for his flight. He cursed that woman out so bad because he said, the fucking plane's right there, bitch. And as a man, I wanted to go to him and pull him to the side and say, they getting ready to arrest you, young man.
Yeah.
Like you can't be cursing like this in the airport,
especially getting on the plane.
Yeah, you going? They locking your ass. Yeah. But I sat there because I felt like he had to go through his life lesson because he was totally out of control. And for my fans on Instagram, you guys fans, all we're doing, ladies and gentlemen, is explaining to you. We want to just give you the information. It's up to you how you process it. All we can do is bring it to you. But we want you to win at this thing called life. Understand that don't fall for the okie doke. We don't run. It's not saying that we ain't shit, but we don't run shit.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? We don't run the NFL. We don't even really run the NBA. We don't.
Now, wouldn't you want to see more black general managers in the NFL, more black owners in the NFL?
Here's the thing about everything we do. Here's the myth of society. See, we always think the grass is green on the other side. We always do. We think that white is right. We think white is right, man. They played Martin Luther King that way. You see what happened to us? Do you see what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened if you don't know.
To what?
To black society. See, we thought white was right, so we wanted to go to school with the white kids. And they let us straight in. They fought a little bit, but they let us straight in. But you know what happened? We didn't learn shit about our history. Not a fucking thing. You could walk down the street and ask anybody about kings, queens in the black community. Won't nobody give you a fucking answer
because
they don't know. We don't know who the fuck we are. We don't know.
To be honest, I grew up knowing that off of Good Times and other shows like that. Black kids, Happy Days, black kids coming to their school. They didn't want that black kid.
Yeah, I didn't learn anything I wanted to know until I got to college where you could pick your classes.
Yeah, but you learn what they want
exactly.
What they want to teach you. You're not learning black history.
You're not learning black
and
history.
That's where we lost that because
that's where we lost.
We don't know shit about our ancestors.
We don't know nothing about our ancestors.
But what they show on TV, the shit they show.
See the game. Like, this is what I mean, how we don't own nothing.
Yeah.
They took cowboys and made them white. And if you do your history, Cowboys was black.
Man.
Come on, yo. When they play our king, when they play Egypt and kings. They were black, but the white people played a role like it was white people. This is what I'm trying to tell you, man.
I'm knowing.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of people that's our age,
yes, sir,
understand.
Yes, sir.
But the people our age ain't teaching their kids this.
Yes.
I'm gonna say I'm one that I didn't sit down with my son and say, Do you know who Malcolm X is, or what he did, or what Martin Luther King did for us?
Mm-hmm.
But in the same token, let's not talk about them no more.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to be a great father.
Yep.
So how do I be a great father? Teaching them what I learned and how I had to strive and the shit that happened to me.
Yes, sir.
Why I was on the street.
Yes, sir.
And coming up to see.
Yes.
Let them know how I went to prison.
Yes.
In 1988. It's 2019.
Yes, sir.
About to be 2020. And I ain't been back to prison.
Yes, sir.
I understand what prison was.
Yeah.
It was boring.
It was boring.
And nothing in there but a bunch of niggas.
That's it.
Fight
That's it.
Or a knife.
Right.
I'd rather have a gun. Ain't nothing happening.
Right. I'd rather have some pussy.
I'd rather go home.
Yeah. I'd rather have some pussy.
Some motherfucking money.
Hey, shouldn't that be the number one motivating factor where people will say, I don't want to go to prison?
Well,
because
you have to. It's a motivation, no. But it's a bad thing and a good thing because no. You see what's going on in society that men don't respect. Pussy. They feel entitled.
Yeah.
And you got to come from, we come from era. You earned the right to sleep with a woman.
Well, I didn't learn that until I went to prison.
Okay, see,
I was a very disrespectful
Yeah,
brother.
See, when I came up, we was players.
I didn't give a fuck about it.
Yeah, you had to mack to a woman.
Take a girl shopping, took care of her.
Yeah.
That's what men did. You have to earn the right to treat a woman. Like, now, don't get me wrong, some fucked up hoes out there.
Thank you.
Let's make sure for the people who going to hear it, because every woman doesn't deserve what we're talking.
Exactly.
But here's what I'm trying to tell you. It's life. You go through your pain. You adjust. You look out for unforeseen occurrences in life. And you just got to be tough. Like, I was talking to another gentleman yesterday. He told me about his friend. Took care of a baby. Thought it was his for 19 years. And the baby wasn't his. And he hung himself.
That's deep. I mean, but
it's
you
a cold
think
thing.
You got to think where he was at, though.
No. I totally get
it. He raised that child.
But gentlemen, you can't die. You can't kill yourself over there. That's why I was saying earlier. You got to stay sharp. You got to. Yeah. You have to have strategy in your life and know what can happen. And don't get it wrong. Don't get me wrong. It hurts.
Now it goes back to the.
It hurts. You know it hurts. You know, you got that when we was in prison, how people jump off the tier because they girls break up with them.
I was
and
in prison.
Jump, take the tier, and jump off and kill themselves. Suicide.
Women were sending a stamp and a letter. I'm done. I got a dude. And motherfuckers was tearing up all their commissary and everything. And you ask yourself, why the fuck he doing that over some pussy?
Exactly.
My granddaddy told me, you ain't going to be the first one. You ain't going to be the
That's
last
so
one.
That's so true.
Hit that pussy.
Right, yo.
You ain't going to be
you
the gotta first
You got to stay strong. And two, I really think when you go away, you should cut all ties with a female.
Exactly. Exactly. And I said that on this show.
Yeah, you don't need no emotion.
Mama,
you got your fucking mind.
She was there every week. Every prison I went to, she was there every weekend.
Yes.
And she was doing her thing. Just don't have that situation when I come home.
Yep.
When I come home, it's us. Didn't happen that way. Hasta la vista.
Exactly.
I seen too many guys in prison for killing for some pussy, and then she remarried, go fuck off and do something
Right, go on about their life.
You're wasting your life.
Man.
And your time, because it ain't that serious.
And it's shows like this that helps young men to make a choice. Like I heard Gangsta Chronicles.
Yeah.
I heard James and them say, you know what? That's not what I want to do because I ain't trying to go to jail over no female, you know? And vice versa. Now you got women going to jail over men. What the fuck? Yo, please somebody tell me what the fuck
now,
is going on.
Now, what do you think about the women just playing themselves out there today? You know, now you got women that feel that they had to get the fake ass, fake titties, and strip.
That's,
don't know they worth.
That's again going back to morals and principles. And when you lose all of that, you out here winging it and trying to strive. And I feel sorry for the people around Thanksgiving with the young women who think they're grown. You got a girl that's going to be 29 years old as a grandmother, right? Cooking dinner. I don't want no young chick cooking for me. Remember, your grandmothers used to be 50, 60 years old.
And what you see today, I went on Skid Row last week.
Yes, sir.
I went and bought 30 blankets. And I went and took these blankets on Skid Row.
Yes.
And they got all of these tents. They got, and the women that was popping their head out of these tents.
Yes.
Was young. They weren't no old, snotty-nosed wow. chicks. But, damn, do you have to live here?
Man.
It was so sad to see them.
Yes, sir.
Young cats.
Yes.
Standing out there talking to themselves. You know, and I was like, wow, man, you want a blanket? But I can't laugh at him because this is some serious shit.
And it's growing.
We are like at the bottom.
Yes.
And I don't care who say I'm wrong or whatever. Black people are at the bottom.
Yes, sir.
And I don't give a fuck.
I'm with you 1,000%.
Niggas need to fix this shit.
Right.
You know, you got to grab hold of your kids.
Yes, you got
all
to.
All these black kids coming.
You
got
to bring them close to you.
You got to get with your daughters.
Yes.
Women need to start being mothers to these little girls.
Right.
And fuck twerking.
Right.
You got to teach your daughter how to sit her ass down and get a book and read.
And right, and know how to do things yeah. around the home. Cook, clean. You got, even if you grow up and not even do that, you should know it.
Should know how to do it.
You should know but how to do it.
They're not being taught that.
See, right. A lot of this game, though, is usually learned from your father. Or, you know, that male figure in your life growing
having
up.
Having a better understanding.
And a lot of us out there don't have this male figure.
Well, here's the thing. Even when a man meets a woman with children, you can't shoplift the pussy, I call it. When you go meet a woman that got children, you can't go in there, and even if she's paying all the bills, you got to step up and be a man somehow. And that's to raise that child, to teach that child discipline, instead of just going in the room, shutting the door,
you can't blame
not
that
giving
on
it.
A man, though.
Yeah.
A woman should want more out of a man than come fuck me.
I totally agree.
A woman
agree.
Should want more out of right. a man, especially if she got kids.
But, Jay,
that's a two-way street.
But it's like
yeah.
that, though.
I know.
That's a sad.
Section 8 helps me.
Let me tell you a story,
you
right?
Lay up with me.
Fuck that women shit. Are some of the smartest people on earth.
Sneakiest.
But when it comes to common sense, and I can go way back to the 70s. My dad died when I was young. Watch where I'm going with this. My mother meets a guy named Ernie. Ernie don't have no teeth, but my mom loves Ernie. And I hear my mom saying, he doesn't have a bank account. I'm going to help him get a bank account. Now I'm 14 years old. I remember this like yesterday. A grown man? You helping a grown man get a motherfucking bank account? It still hits me to this day. And that's why I tell men in my show that don't even approach a woman unless your paper's right. Ladies, don't even let a man get on top of you unless your paper is right. You got to be qualified to date. You got to be qualified to fuck. Bottom line, nobody's teaching them the game. Why would a man go approach a woman, know he ain't got shit, and destroy this woman's life?
Because he sees the insecurities in that woman and knows that.
No, he wants pussy and he wants companionship. But I want to take that energy and turn it around
that can be
and make sure you work
6,000 million scenarios yes. in a situation like
yes.
that.
Yes. But get your money right. Like some people in relationships now, they can't even leave each other because they need each other to pay the bills.
Exactly.
That's a horrible
That's the cheaper to keeper
but
theory.
Too broke to leave.
In the long run, that shows that if we can weather this storm, because we both broke and get over this, we can do anything else. We know we can be better.
Yes.
This is where our relationships are not like our grandmother's and grandfather's relationship,
mm-hmm.
where they was having 15 kids and still together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grandmama didn't feel granddaddy wouldn't shit because granddaddy went to work and did everything.
He damn sure did.
Now today, daddy ain't doing shit, but mama getting up and going to work or getting that check and doing this and that, taking care of both,
right.
the whole family.
Right.
Men need to step their motherfucking game up.
Yes, sir.
Get off their ass. I don't give a fuck. What we say we ain't going to do,
right.
a Mexican, the Asians,
damn right.
and everybody else, get up and go do that job.
Yes, sir.
Nigga, I'm going to flip burgers to feed my kid.
And do you see where this is going,
Jay? I'm going to be a gardener.
Jay, do you see where it's going?
Yeah.
In 50 years.
We don't care.
50. or less.
Yeah.
Mexicans gonna be running this motherfucker.
Which they should. Fuck it.
Yeah.
if
he's shit, right,
we gotta,
again.
We gotta, look, we
I like
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got a problem with picking up cans,
right,
recycling. Yeah. We got a problem with selling food on the corner. They're making a killing. They're making a killing. If they can do it, we can do it. They're buying all the trucks and all the houses, but it ain't their fault. They take care of their people.
They sure do.
If I see you got it and we hanging together, damn, this nigga pocket always fat. Mine is short.
I'm gonna tell you how important what he's saying. When I was locked up, as soon as I walked in, if you see a Mexican, he gonna say, "You cool, brother?
Yeah.
You good?" They get immediately.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
in their heart. I don't know what it is. Am I right or wrong?
You're right. We're not going to do that.
We're not going to do that. Damn sure not.
Come on, man.
You sit around a motherfucker, eat your snacks.
We got to help each other, man. And we really need to help. Each brother need to help the brother next to him.
You got to help each
because
other, guys.
If we don't stop the gang shit, first and foremost,
yes,
we really taking away from us.
Right.
Because it ain't going to be too many smart motherfucking brothers out there to help the next motherfucker.
You ain't going to have it too much longer because what they pushing everybody out. You ain't going to be gangbanging in the next 5, 10 years down
they're
there.
They giving you life and taking everything
they
from
take
you.
It from you.
Once they give you life, you don't have the right to produce. You can't do that. You'll never be a father, period.
Right.
You'll never get a job.
Yep.
You'll never take care of shit.
Right.
And it's just all a design.
Thank you.
It's a design.
Yep.
To keep us where we at.
Right.
So, and it's just certain individuals. That poor white trash, they don't give a fuck about the poor white trash because they're only statistics. We going to give y'all them so we don't look bad like we racist
right.
or whatever.
And I don't really want to make this whole show about race, but before we could change the subject, you got to really understand, Jay. I know you was like, statistically, this should be done, this should be done. But yeah. I'm going to show you the game.
Yeah.
This game that they play. And out of all the movies they could put out in the universe, they put out Harriet Tubman. Now, people say, oh, that movie's done good. Oh, it was great acting. But the Jews, again, are saying to America, no matter what, we're going to remind you of who you are every time. Do we really need that many slave movies? We know already.
I was done with after Amistad.
Thank you.
Was also Steven Spielberg.
We know. We know the story. But are they putting out positive images? No. Why? We don't own Hollywood. They give us one little break here and there. They put Kevin Hart there. Out of all the talent that's out there, I tell people all the time, if you was to kids, I do the panels, and they say, I want to become an actress and an actor. I said, I want you to go get a job, a skill. And they said, why? I said, if you was my student, and I was a professor at a college, and I said, young man, I want you to go do a research paper on how many African Americans get a break in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And you're going to come back with a number that's going to scare the fuck out of you. Because even the big people who think they stars don't even work.
Damn,
they don't even have jobs like that. So you got to create your own business to take care of your own. We have children. Let me tell you how crazy thing that we have children. We send them into the universe for another man to hire your child. Think about that now. You had the kid, but you're depending on someone else to put money on your child's table. When you was here your whole life, you should have been preparing to take care of your own child.
You're right.
That's just how I feel.
I mean, and it just goes. See, that's why I like you, because my grandfather say, you live on this planet 70 years, 80 years. You pass. You got 10 kids. If you die without leaving your kids something,
yes, sir.
You haven't accomplished nothing.
You haven't accomplished a fucking
thing. So your life didn't mean shit.
It didn't mean nothing.
So you got to have something to leave. That's how they give and give and give.
That's how they win.
A rich man going to give to his kids. His kids get rich. They leave it to their kids.
Right.
And the cycle keep going.
And I teach people about the insurance game. See, people walk around here without not insured. It's the dumbest shit in the world.
Life insurance.
Life insurance. Yeah, whole absolutely. Term, short term. Yeah. You need insurance.
I think car insurance is a ripoff, but life insurance is an
absolute.
Yeah,
you got to have it. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. It's no way. Motherfuckers got to stop tripping.
Some people can't afford it.
Especially if you have kids. You better have life insurance if you got kids.
My point is, you got to stop fucking.
Why you got to stop fucking?
You got to stop fucking because you can't take care of kids. Stop.
That's
you
true.
You can fuck, whatever, but that's stop true. Having these babies.
Stop having them.
This
Stop.
Shit is sad.
Man.
Stop having fucking kids,
There's cats out there with 17, 18 kids.
Yes.
Eight different baby mamas. What the fuck?
It's crazy.
You ain't going to be able to take care of all them. You can't.
It's just, I just want us to win. And the strategy is home first.
Yeah.
And you pass it. And you can't go save the world. You can't save a city. You can't say you got to take care of yours.
Yep.
And try to give them the knowledge, and they listen and be man enough to live with your decisions. You got to cut a child off. See, sometimes you got to cut yours off in order to live long, to have a decent life. And you don't want to leave your child behind. But if your child is creating aggravation and confusion,
tough love.
Or you're a man by tough principle, love. Like, I don't like liars. One of my kids is a liar. I ain't fucking with you. I got to be able to trust my children.
Yeah,
you that you close to me.
Yeah,
I'm a street nigga.
But that's the relationship that you make with them. I mean, they wouldn't want to lie to pops.
Well, no. So I think some people in the world are just habitual liars, regardless of who and what raises them.
Yeah,
I just really believe that. You know, and that's why I use this word called you got to hold people accountable. You can save their life.
That's true. Well, I didn't have a pops like that, so.
Okay.
I learned from my grandfather.
Right, you know? Right.
My daddy was.
And you learned through your journey.
Yeah.
Because that's why we click and we all click it.
Yeah.
But I'm really drawn to you a lot because I really see that you're brutal. And you got to be brutal out this motherfucker.
And because I grew up.
James is so gangster.
Yes.
And I tell everybody, it ain't about being a gangster.
No, but I say gangster in a different sense. Yeah. We also got to change the definition of some of these terms.
True.
When I say James is gangster, that don't mean he out here doing something criminal or bad.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying he's being boldly and honestly truthful about a particular position.
Yes.
That's gangster to me.
You have to be.
You know?
You have to be.
Yeah.
Because how the fuck are you going to believe what I'm saying if I sound like a liar? So if so I give true. You the 100 and you understand 100,
yes, sir.
We ain't got to talk about that conversation no
right,
more.
Right.
Like this shit we doing right here. So many people get at me and James, you so, man, you're so honest. Well, I just try to keep it 100.
That's the best way.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
if
the best
I can't
way.
Keep it 100, I walk away from this shit.
Yes, sir.
If now you want to monitor what I say, I can't do this shit.
Yes, sir.
You feel me? Like my Vlad interviews and everything yes. else. If I can't say what I want and you want to edit what the fuck I say,
right.
don't call me.
Yeah, that's right.
Going by
that's you. Right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
We not going to get it unless it's bold.
We got to put it out there.
Ain't nobody going to understand it. So a lot of these little young cats getting to me and talking, it's cool because they now I'm reaching people. Now they understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And it's good to see young men and starting their own podcast.
Yeah.
It starts. But I always try to teach men who start in their business, do you understand your business?
Yeah.
Like the podcast business, a lot of people know that the salary for podcasts is over $200,000 a year. But most people don't know that. Did you know that?
Nope.
See?
See? See, man. But hell no, I didn't know
See,
that.
Let me put you up
but
on game.
Know what? We getting it. Listen.
No, I'm going to share this, I'm gonna ahead, share this knowledge me. With you. This is important.
Show me.
When I hear people start their podcast, no one talks about getting paid because they don't understand the game. You got to start a podcast to get paid.
Yeah.
So you got to be out there on your grind to get your hustles. And this is the game of life I'm about to teach everybody. You get your podcast up to 80,000 subscribers. 80,000. And the companies that wants to spend money come to you and they pay you sponsorship dollars. Now, if y'all need somebody to help, I'm always a businessman. You know, I'm a sound. I mean, who am I with Charlamagne the God and them? SoundCloud.
Soundbox? Something box?
No, I can't even think about who the fuck I work with. Let's Google this shit real quick. My man Chris Morrow up there.
Well, go ahead, I'll look it up.
Yeah, but I want people to understand there's a check behind this shit. Just don't do this to show up and say you got a podcast.
Yeah.
It's $200,000 or more on the table.
Yeah.
And well, that's what I want y'all to get.
One of my things was doing this when Reggie and them came at me
mm-hmm.
was I can talk.
Yes, sir.
I can educate.
Yes, sir.
I can let people understand what's really the fuck going on and where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
If I can come from where I was.
Yes, sir.
To where I'm at now.
Yes, sir.
People are listening.
Yeah, they're going to listen.
And they're understanding it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Understanding.
And I just
pain.
Want you, I just want, this is what I'm saying, strategy. I just want you to get the money that you deserve.
Yeah, yeah.
See, because when you get that kind of money, it helps. It helps. Money helps you do a lot of good things.
Man, and I'm trying to do it.
Yeah, money helps you do a lot of good things. And that's what my comedy special is about. That's why I'm also here, too.
Loudspeakers Network.
Damn, I couldn't think of that shit for nothing. Thank you, yo. I'm tired. I've been up since 2:30 this morning. Yeah. And when I leave here, I got to go to the studio. The special Who Raised You
yeah.
is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Who Raised You is a powerful word.
Yeah.
Because it explains so many things. Because when you see it, you say to yourself, who the fuck sent you into the world unprepared?
Man.
Who sent you into the world? Because you got to be prepared before you send people out. Like I hear people say, oh, my child is growing. He's 18 years old. I wouldn't send no fucking child into the world to pay rent. To pay Wi-Fi card note at 18, you have no experience.
Exactly.
None.
Especially in Los Angeles.
You send somebody at 18, they're going to come, they're going to be right back.
Yeah.
Or homeless or fucked up. You don't do that. My kids, no disrespect, until my children are prepared to leave the house, they're not going nowhere.
That's right.
But you're going to learn how to, my daughter's going to learn all this cooking. You're going to learn how to deal with a man. And you may not have to even be with a man. You give a fuck.
You know, I give my parents a little pass because they were immigrants coming into this country and they didn't know the game when
yes.
they were, you know, coming in. So I'm first generation
yes.
in the United States. So it's on me mm-hmm. to now pass the game on to my three kids.
Right.
You know, so hopefully they're going to have it better than me. I definitely had it better than my parents. And hopefully the cycle will go on, at least with the line of my seed.
Yes.
It definitely will. But You can teach your kids everything. You know what I'm saying? And then yet they still don't get it.
But that's there's so, many things that my parents didn't teach me, and I don't really hold them accountable to it because they just didn't know. You know, they're learning the game themselves as being the first ones to put their feet on this soil that we call the United States of America.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking back, I wish my father told me about buying property. I didn't learn about buying property until a Jewish kid was teaching me the game when I was a student at USC in my 20s.
Yes.
You know, I'm like, wow.
But it was never too late. See, that's beauty.
It was never too
late. So now you pass that to your child. I told you, it's like Nipsey says, a marathon. We'll get it. We'll win it. I'm telling you, we'll be back in stride. We just got to understand what's going on and understand. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't fall for the bullshit. Get your paper right and take care of home. Home first. You take care of home. And then the rest will trickle down and you pass it down to generation. But I see you got some questions.
Well,
let's make it happen.
I think one of your best topics, in my opinion, that you talk about are relationships.
Yes.
I think you talk about relationships on point, probably better than anybody out there. I know you talk about other stuff about the government, about the country, about race.
Right.
But your perspective on relationships is not only funny, but it's on point.
Yes, sir.
And I'm a true believer of what you said earlier before we went on air, is that no matter how tight you think you are with your woman, no matter how many years you all been together,
yes,
no matter how much you think she loves you and you love her, it's just your turn.
Yes, and you know what scares me about dating? That you could be with someone 5 months, 5 years, 20 years, whether it's the man or female, and you go to sleep at night, one looking at one wall and one looking at the other, and you're thinking that it's a happy fucking place. And the next day or whatever, a motherfucker changed their mind. I'm scared. Let me tell you how serious life is to me. I don't want to put my life in someone else's hands. Like, I could date you if you got your spot and I got my spot. But living under one roof, that if it doesn't work out, so many things crumble. Or say you're the breadwinner and it doesn't work out, and that person wants to take every fucking thing you worked for, even though you was a good man. That's some scary shit to me.
But then you lose out. Because it's a scary thing and you don't want it to happen to you. But you lose out. Man, this could have been the last chick you ever dated in your life. But you got men and women on some bullshit.
Yes, sir.
In a relationship on some intention instead of wanting to be happy.
Yes, sir.
So what you do? Nowadays, first of all, you got to sit down with a woman and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Then we talk. We talk 100.
Right.
If this ain't going to work or we can't do this and we don't set goals where we should be in 2 years or how far you want to go with this relationship, upfront shit, then there's no need to fuck with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But people that's out dating ain't thinking like that. Oh, he's cute. Damn, she got some big ass titties. I want to fuck. Oh, man, I got to hit that because the homeboys say we ain't looking at it like that.
But no matter how much you plan, like you're saying, James, like TK just said, the female might wake up one day and just say, you know what? I changed my mind.
But
that's what I'm
saying. I ain't messing with you no more. It should be understanding. Bye.
There's never an understanding.
It shouldn't be hard feelings if somebody don't want to deal with
it. It shouldn't be.
I ain't finna kill you. But that's what we grow up at. We have to grow up. Because if that woman don't want to have nothing to do with me, I can show her better than she's showing me. Bye. And the next time she see me, I got something better up under my arm. Or I'm doing something better just being by myself, grooming myself for the...
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next person, or for what I want to choose now. You know what I'm saying? Half of these women is choosing the man without the man just saying whatever. Because he's just taking it.
And not being prepared.
Because it's pussy.
And he's not being prepared.
We're not thinking.
Exactly.
So you got women out there that remember back in the days when the ballers, all the big-time dope dealers, 380 pounds, had that slim, petite chick, pretty in a motherfucker. She was only fucking with him because of what?
Money.
Now it's totally different. You got the finest bitch walking, finest female walking up the motherfucking block on the phone. You got a phone, but you ain't got a car. You catching the bus.
And people, see, that's experience.
Silly shit.
See, because I'll see a girl that's cold and motherfucker, right? And see exactly what you just said.
Exactly.
The bitch walking.
Walking.
You got to look at her shoes. For real.
You really do. You really do.
You got to look at her shoes, her hair, her nails. All those things says so much about a person.
Yeah, it does.
So much about a person. And I just believe that men should just work hard, date to protect yourself. Just date.
Exactly.
Work hard, save your money, date different women. I don't give a fuck how old you are. You'll live longer. You'll have a good time. Because everybody always wants to hook up and move in with each other and not knowing who you're fucking.
Okay, well, that kind of brings me to thinking of what you said some earlier about morals and principles. But then at the same time, the institution of marriage is supposed to, like, be the foundation of these morals and principles. So it seems like you're not a big fan or supporter of jumping into a marriage.
You're absolutely right.
But you still have appreciation and respect for those values.
Yes,
and
yes.
Morals.
Now, see,
and
I'm the kind of man, I'll fuck you, I'll treat you good, I'll buy your car. I'm that kind of dude. You know, Toyota Camry, fully loaded. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You ain't getting no Benz, bitch. Hell no, you ain't getting no fucking Benz. But a Toyota Camry's nice.
Yeah.
Fully loaded.
Yeah.
With heated seats and shit. Yeah. With the steering wheel. With the heat on it.
Yeah.
With the cell phone in that bitch. Hit the, you know. You gonna have all that shit with me.
Yeah.
And I might even buy you a house. But I ain't gonna marry you. And the reason why I won't marry you, I got children. And I can't marry you unless we have an airtight prenup because you can't take what I'm supposed to leave to my children.
Mm, exactly. That's deep.
But that comes with understanding. Yeah. Sitting there talking to her. If she love you, you're going to reap the benefits while we are together.
And that's game because you say, baby, I can't leave you this. But listen, especially if you trust her, we could take out an insurance policy. Now, that money you can have.
It's yours.
But this is what I'm doing with my family. Mm-mm. You can't because you wasn't part of the journey.
Yeah.
See, somebody was with you at 18, 19 years old, you're 50 something, she deserves it.
Yeah.
I'm almost 60 years old. I get married, I can't give no fucking female millions of dollars. That's a jackpot.
But that just comes with understanding. And if it's not about the money, then
I just rather date. I like different women. Bottom line, I like fucking with different. I like waking up with different women. Mm. That's what I do. You know what I'm saying? I can't be with the same fucking female more than 3 days.
Yeah, you ain't gonna get married.
Nah, hell no.
3 days? If you still
3 days.
You motherfucker.
You got 3 days with me.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, you got 3 days with me. Mm-mm.
Well, it's crazy because a lot of brothers think like that. But then at what point do you, I mean, is that making you happy just being
It makes me you? Happy. Yep.
You do?
Yes, sir. I mean, it makes me happy.
Your kids are grown or they still
My
young?
Youngest is 11. My oldest is 31.
So they with their mother or they with you?
Mm-hmm. I'm with them a lot, but they with their moms most of the time. Okay. I got 5 baby mamas. 3 was one night stands.
Wow.
Yep, I got caught like
Damn.
That. Yeah, 3. And 2 I had in a relationship.
Okay.
But I try to keep a close knit.
They can still get your money, though. The what is that called? Alimony?
Yeah, but... No,
or child support. I'm sorry, child support.
Child support, to me, is just a broke bitch hustle.
Yeah.
It is.
It's a broke bitch hustle. But not nobody asked me for no motherfucking child support.
Well...
I'll take care of my child. You need something? I got you. Because what women fail to realize to me is that if you didn't have a child, you got to pay rent and car note. That's some grown-up shit. My child needs, listen to me. All you got to do is call. I got you. I'm never going to tell you no about my child. Don't pimp me.
Yeah, but there's some cats out there that got them and got it and ain't giving it. Don't give a damn about their kids.
And that's just how some people are. That's just bad.
We need to get a grip on that because, you know, I mean, I love the shit out of my kids. I'm going to do whatever I can for my kids.
Yes.
I'm going to do everything for my kids that my daddy didn't do for me. And that's be there, love them, and say, this is right, this is wrong. Yeah, nah, whatever. But, I mean, it just goes to say, man, relationships is a motherfucker.
And you got to be...
Each one is a gamble.
There you go. You hit it right on the nail. Each one is a gamble.
Might last 2 years, might last 2 weeks.
I can't do it, fam.
I guess I got lucky then, man. Listening to y'all brothers, man.
Yeah, I'm just a different kind of guy.
Yeah,
I play it safe. I'm not a gambler. I can't do it. I can't. No.
So what's your view on the whole idea of a soulmate? Because usually there's this belief you meet somebody and
I'm gonna tell you how I feel about it. I think all that shit is corny to motherfuckers.
Yeah,
I'm just being honest, man. You know, this world uncreated so many. Fucking traps. I call them traps.
Yeah,
that's my soulmate. That's that. No disrespect. I think it's nice to have men like you in the world.
No, I don't believe
let me tell you what, I'm giving you a compliment. Men like you in the world who, nice gentlemen, I'm glad that you found somebody that you truly love. Because to me, you got to be kind of corny to be married. This is just me.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to be.
TK called me corny.
Yeah, you got to be.
Hey,
you gotta
I've been
be,
married.
I'm married too.
I've been married 19 years.
Yeah, you got to be kind of corny and you really, really nice. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, really, really nice. I'm a nice guy. But I got to have my space.
There are some wives that will give you
and
that,
And it's
though.
Just, you just got to know who you are. See, if I cross the line and I know who I am, I put the young lady relationship in danger. If she could be with somebody that can really do something with her, I don't want to do that. That's just
so
that
you
man.
Ain't finna... You with a female and y'all out and she see ex-boyfriend, you ain't gonna get mad because she walked over there and hugged the ex-boyfriend.
No, that's corny. It's not that you're jealous. We all are jealous. We all are insecure. I call it, you just have to know how to control your emotions.
Yeah.
See, because you have to be a superhero not to get jealous of anything. You just got to be like, I'm going to control my emotions. Mm-hmm. Not that serious. And that's the way I move. I control my emotions. Okay. And you control it. I always go for the woman's brain first, the mind. The mind is so powerful. A young lady, how he speaks. I guarantee you, your woman respects you so fucking much because of your mouthpiece.
And with me and her, I keep it 100. If it's something I don't like, if I ain't feeling good and I ain't happy, check this out. I ain't happy.
But she respects you and so much because you're a man.
Because it's 100.
See, you're a man. Yeah. You ain't tolerating that sissy shit.
No.
And that's what's important, my man.
Yeah.
And that's why and when I came in, I felt both of you guys.
Yeah.
But I understood it's amazing how a person's demeanor can say so many things.
Yeah.
So many things. And what we do in situations like this is we teach and we go on. And I see you keep looking at your paper. Ask me some questions.
Oh, no. Well, one thing I wanted to know, I have a channel called Street TV, and I put videos of gang members that I interview.
Yes.
Every single video that I post, there's a TK Kirkland comment under my videos.
Is that
right? For example, I just posted Cynthia Nunn today, who was one of the early members of Looters Park Piru.
Right.
Someone put a comment and said, I actually grew up in Looters Park, TK Kirkland.
That's hilarious.
another video I did with Kato that has the podcast here with Yuck Mouth. Someone wrote, I actually told Kato to rap, TK Kirkland.
Now, you know how that started?
No, I was going to ask you, break that down for our listeners, man.
How this happened? Because
you're connected to almost everything that exists in black culture and hip hop.
Because I look young, people don't know how old I am until I say it.
Yeah.
And people don't know that when I was a youngster and I started out with NWA, I was a businessman. I got into management and put people on. I started D.L. Hughley, Mike Epps, Godfrey Danchimer, Anthony Michael Hall in the movie Breakfast Club, John Leguizamo. All these people was up under my wing that I put into the universe. So when I talk about these stories, before I started putting stuff on Instagram with Second to None, shout out to Second to None, AMG, Bitch Better Have My Money, the Loonies, how I wrote stuff on their albums, Luke, toured with Jay-Z, the Cash Money Millionaires. When you put it out there like that, it could sound like you're lying. No, it sounds like you're lying.
Yeah.
Until my people started going on the air. When DL and them was going on the air, said, TK's not lying. Godfrey's goes on there. TK Kirk is not lying. I'm posting videos of me and Lil Wayne, Baby, when we're doing the movie Baller Blocking. Always saying, I'm impressed because I would do things and it didn't mean nothing to me. I didn't care.
Yeah.
Like if you knew about it, you knew about it. But we're in the culture of social media now.
Exactly.
So everything becomes important. So this took a life of its own because of Vlad TV. So they used to post all this stuff with Vlad, and it just took off, not knowing to me that all publicity is good.
So how did it get on Street TV, my channel now?
It's just something that's going, that's carrying around. And that's just great news to hear you say that to me. Like, that's awesome.
All my videos has that's a TK Kirkland awesome. Comment.
Man.
And that's the Cynthia Nunn one is the
you
one.
You can't get that. Is that amazing
that's,
publicity?
That's like, I just wild. Posted. I mean, but how do you feel that you got people using your name to say actual fact? That's on 100. That's TK Kirkland.
That's a beautiful, it's a beautiful thing, Jay. It's great to get the recognition I always felt I deserved.
Well, you got it.
Because I am, if I could say it myself, if you ever see my stand-up, you will be blown away. I swear to God. You would be blown away. You ever Google, if you get a chance, Google on YouTube, Jamie Foxx and TK Kirkland. Okay. And Jamie Foxx says, TK, every comic in the world is scared of TK Kirkland. Because I could go up in a dance club and shut the motherfucker down. When I was on tour at NWA, you know, gotta be funny.
Yeah.
When you do them rap tours, you can't, it ain't no game.
Yeah, I know.
You gotta go and that motherfucker handle your business.
That's right.
Rocking. Tours.
Have you ever done a show with prisoners, inmates?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Because I heard they're a tough group. Yeah, but I'll tell you,
I was in jail one time, and this was celebrity protective custody, L.A. County Jail.
Yeah.
In the 90s. Yeah.
You talking about High Power?
Yeah, let me tell you who was on my deck.
Okay.
The Menendez brothers.
Oh, yeah. This is 89?
Tupac. Rick James.
Rick James.
All of us in that motherfucker together. Now the people.
You're singing all day.
Now you can see, it's like a tier, so it's the way it was built, you can still see the cells on.
Was Todd Bridges in there too? Because he kind of went in around 88,
I'm not
89.
Sure. So you can still see everybody. And I'm probably been doing comedy maybe 3-4 years at the time.
Mm.
So everybody know I'm a comedian. But they're saying, TK, tell us a joke.
I said, man, I'm fighting a fucking case. I ain't telling no motherfucking joke. The whole jail booed me. I'm talking about boo like I was at the motherfucking Apollo. Why not?
You ain't got nothing to do.
Exactly. So I wind up telling a joke, and it was about a joke called, is this the bus to go to school by a retarded kid going to the bus stop every day? So I'm like, is this the bus to go to school? And they laughed so hard that it was unbelievable. But that's what happened in a situation like that, going to jail when I was doing stuff for inmates. And that's the only time I did it. And I think that it would be a great opportunity to do that somewhere down the line with the gift that I have. And all I just want to do is just continue to work hard, let the chips fall where they may, exactly. Whether they say I'm a good comedian or whatever. But I'm going to let the world decide where TK's place in history stands.
Exactly. And I also heard you say Suge was your bodyguard?
Yeah, Suge was me and the DOC bodyguard on NWA.
Well, you know I got history with
Suge. Yeah, right. So yeah. The thing about Suge is to see how he blew up but didn't understand power. Was one of the, it's really one of the most saddest stories in hip hop.
It was just like being the kid that's bullied every day and becoming a cop.
Yes.
Now I'm the bully.
Right.
And this is where Suge came. Not really gangbanging, not right. Being a gang member.
Yep, he wasn't.
Now, living this world, in this life, now I got all of these people respecting me because I got all of these cats, meaning us,
yes, sir.
Behind him,
right.
Ready to fight and do whatever for that check.
Right.
Now he's like this. He could smell the fear that people had.
Yes.
When Suge Knight walked through.
Right.
He don't have to pretend to be nothing.
Right.
All he got to do is walk.
Yep.
Get that motherfucker. And that motherfucker got.
Yep, we sure did.
Me and Suge started off doing the Budweiser Superfest.
Okay.
With Big Wes.
Yes, sir. I know Big Wes.
Yeah.
So, isn't Big Wes his uncle?
Yeah, his cousin.
Yeah.
And we was just going and getting on the plane and flying just to do the concert.
Yes, sir.
Because we doing security.
Right.
And we came into Fernhill Records.
Right.
From there, Death Row Records.
Yes, sir.
I watched my friend go from a regular cat.
Yes, sir.
To a cat that frowned every day.
Right.
To a cat that started disrespecting people and looking at people in a different way.
Yes, sir.
To a millionaire.
Yes.
Now, you got the industry and everybody on their tiptoes.
Yes, sir.
Now you're bringing in and introducing the music world to us, the thug cats.
Yep.
This is what's going to happen.
Right.
If you don't say what I want you
exactly.
to say or do what I want you
right.
to do. For him to bring us and to see it and to watch him go from a regular suit to a big red suit with
yes,
big cigars and all that, I knew it was too much.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
Some people are just not designed to be successful.
He wouldn't listen to me.
Yeah.
He wouldn't listen to me. And he just felt like one of the untouchables.
Yes, sir.
And it brought him to a level where it put him right back where we started.
Right. And that got to be...
That's the coldest shit.
Now, James, on a previous episode of the Gangsta Chronicles, you were talking about Suge once, where all you guys was pulling up in like low riders and hydraulics, and he's coming in with Rolls Royces or
this is
Ferraris and kind of making y'all feel like, dang.
This is what made me feel like damn, because I'm thinking outside the box opposed to my brother and all the other homies.
Yes.
Because everybody is happy with what they're getting, but not understanding what we're doing to get it.
Right.
It's like, fuck it.
Yep.
But in the same token, my thing is, man, do y'all hear the crowd, how they talk about us, opposed to him pulling up in his Vans, Rolls, whatever, and he gets out and he fits in. We coming out in khakis.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thermo shirts.
Right.
We the ones who look like, oh, Lord, girl, snap your purse.
Right.
Let's go this way. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Yes.
If we with you, your entourage, you should want your entourage to look like you do. Now we all
I totally
can
agree.
Now we all can move.
Yeah, but that's what being a leader is about. Really, and I used that story back east. You know, I started out with Jay-Z also. And when he turns the corner in Bentley, he got nine other motherfuckers turning corners in Bentley.
Looking good.
Woo. Looking good.
Right in the right
True way. Story, fam. I seen it.
Mm.
When that motherfucker pull up a concert in Philly or anything in a local area, he got a Rolls Royce, 8, 9, 10 motherfuckers with Rolls Royces.
That makes a big difference.
It makes you feel amazing.
Exactly. I mean, just by the people, what the news say, the media itself says about the entourage.
Yes.
If we was wearing we wore tuxedos one time, and that was the grand opening of Death Row Records. Nobody knew who was who because everybody was in a tuxedo.
Exactly.
Everybody was dressed.
Right.
They didn't know us as thugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it made all the guys that ain't never put on a tuxedo, that only wore
self-esteem is everything.
Make you feel like, oh, it man, is. This is good.
And when you're a leader and you don't take care of your people start plotting against you eventually.
Well, now we've heard about the transformation of Suge Knight from James and Reggie Wright Jr., our other co-host.
Yes.
But you actually saw the transformation too because you knew him before Death Row.
Yes.
Give us your
He was just
own
a nice
experience.
Kid.
Yeah.
I'm talking about nice, yo. Suge was just a nice young man. And that's the greatest thing I could say about him. He was a nice man. I actually saw fame change him. And if he ever takes the time to think, you got to think about this, yo. If he'd have made different choices with the most powerful rap label in the world, you had Dr. Dre, Tupac, Snoop Dogg. It don't get no fucking bigger than that. And bam, all
this. I think he honestly knew what he had, but it was just too overwhelming.
Probably overwhelming.
For him. The power itself.
Yes.
Some cats can't possess that.
I totally agree.
Because they don't know how to be, because they've never been that type of cat.
Yes.
Yeah. So to wake up with that gangster face,
yes,
or mentality,
yes,
every day, it kills you. You get caught up.
Yes.
You get caught up. And if Suge would have just stayed the business, kept the business thing going, but a lot of things interrupted him in his situation. He was a cat that never did liquor, never did no type of drugs and none of that other shit. But once you get involved in other shit, shit happens. You know what I'm saying? So with the time he got now, I just hope that he see himself doing something better when he come home.
You think he's going to come home?
Yeah, he's going to come home.
There's one way he can get out, and that's a pardon, which is...
That ain't happening.
Which are people are talking about that right now.
I don't get caught up in the that fairy tale shit.
No.
Shook, I can't do it.
Well, that brother that was on death row in Texas that we... I posted something about him a couple weeks ago. They stayed his execution. He was supposed to be executed next week.
Yeah, that's what... Yeah. They really found him innocent, but he did 30 years, though.
Yeah.
Shit. He still did 30. And that's what I was trying to say about jail reform, right? Once you're in there, it's hard to get the fuck out.
They don't teach you shit about rehabilitation in prison. You're going to do your thing. You're going to fight. You're going to stab motherfuckers. You got motherfuckers that's running these streets right now today, thug the fuck out, but was booty bandits and every motherfucking thing else. Took advantage of the light-skinned nigga with the long hair, the white
that's
boy with
crazy.
The long hair, and no tattoos.
And I was at, believe it or not, in the 70s. You ever heard of Scared Straight?
That, yeah.
I was the first motherfucker to go to that, yo.
They should have did something better with that, though.
Yeah, I went to Scared Straight. My school took us there. And we went in, he's absolutely right. You saw niggas that was yoked and booty shorts, my nigga, was bitches. I'm seeing this at 16, 17 years old, not believing what I'm seeing. One of the most fear and scared things that you can ever imagine. Not even about what they could do to you, to know that they've been in there so long, or they could have been like that before they got in there.
Yeah.
To submit to that type of mentality.
Well, you have...
Crazy.
I had a guy that was a lifer. I was in CMC on the East Yard.
Yes, sir.
I rolled up over there. Never coming home. He said, I never touch no money. I never get no pussy. I never know nothing. The only thing he got close to pussy is ass.
Wow.
So if he run across one of these punks that's holding on their shirts, then so be it. Who gives a fuck?
Man.
Everybody else is doing it.
Right.
So they don't care in there.
Isn't that something?
You know what I'm saying? But you got to look at the ones that do come home.
Right.
Gangster and a motherfucker.
Yes, sir.
Done turned the little homie or this cat that's claiming the hood completely out.
Man.
Fucked them up. So all these, we just got to keep it 100.
Yes,
and
sir.
And if everybody keep it 100, the half of this bullshit is stopped. Now, it's just coming straight out forward. Everybody is coming home twisting their motherfucking fingers.
Right.
You didn't go in there like that. So you knew there's something wrong in there. You know what I'm saying?
And to the young kids listening, listen to what he's saying.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to end up in that motherfucker. Your whole life will be rocked.
You have no choice. Half of the cats that get raped in there don't have a choice. You got 5 motherfuckers coming at you. You got 3 motherfuckers coming at you. Or you got 1 motherfucker that's been in there so long, he know how to put your ass to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, you have to be hooked up with something, with a click. You have to be known. You have to have something going for yourself up in there.
Yes,
everybody
sir.
Know this. If you don't have it, then they're going to take your commissary. They're going to take from your food to your ass.
Wow. You
and
listening,
half of these
kids?
Guys don't even want to tell the truth about the
right.
shit. You're going to get raped.
Right.
If you don't get raped, if you didn't get raped in prison, you got raped in the county jail. That goddamn gang module, motherfuckers was getting their ass took with house shoes. Getting shit carved in their back. Don't come in here pretending to be one of us.
Right.
You're going to leave as something else.
Right.
And that's all it was about. You know what I'm saying? But prison, you got men in there for the rest of their life.
Yes, sir.
We got a homeboy in there doing life. Been in there since 74.
Wow.
Don't come in there and you from the hood. He going to rape your ass. You know
Man.
What I'm saying? And it's just sad. You're supposed to be in there when... These little cats come, but he don't know none of them. He don't know none of them. And I was talking to Sleepy about this shit, his brother named Smiley, talking about it. I don't know nothing else. And I'm not going to get no pussy no time soon. Mm-hmm. So you are the next best thing to be me
that
cuddling
is some
up
scary
with
shit, yo.
When you walk down the tier, you see niggas under sheets and shit. It's crazy. But, I mean, that's what it is, man. That's
yeah.
What
else you got for me, family?
Well, a lot of the things that you said kind of alludes to this question about, is there a feminization of Black America going on in our society?
Oh, yes.
And if so, is it related to child molestation, or is this part of a government plot, or other powers that be?
It started with government, mm-hmm. but now everybody thinks it's their choice. Everybody feels like, oh, that person, that's the way they feel, that's the way they was raised. I was in Houston, Texas the other day, and a young lady said, you're kind of mean. And I said, why? She said, because you wanted to slap Cam Newton. This is what she said about wearing the scarf. And I said, yeah. I said, because whether he's gay or not, it's still some bitch shit. He in a position that he has to teach young men to be strong men. That's just the way I feel.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how her son, she said she was a dyke, and how her son doesn't want to hold her arm. And he said that, she said that he said to her, "Mom, that's not who you are. You messed that up when you made this choice to be who, be a dyke." And I said, you got to respect that.
Yeah.
And she said, well, children, if they grow up gay, it should be up to them to make their choice. I said, no, that's wrong, sister. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, you let your 11-year-old child drive a car? You know it's going to kill him? I said, would you do that? Would you let your child take drugs? He said, oh, I'm going to leave them to make their own choice. I'm going to leave these drugs here, and then whatever drug he wants to use, I'm going to let him. I said, no. I said, parents are the GPS to life.
Man.
Our God is to guide children. You don't see a lion trying to be a giraffe in the fucking jungle.
Don't make no sense.
Parents leave. And what I'm hearing is they're letting children lead the parents. You know shit is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You got to tell the child it's wrong. You guide your child to a certain point in life, and then after that, whatever happens, happens.
Exactly.
But you're supposed to guide them. Dwayne Wade, 4-year-old son, playing with wannabe whatever. Like, but this shit bothers the fuck out of me.
He wasn't born like that.
It wasn't born like
so
that. And I'm tired
from?
Of people saying that
yeah,
shit. It's a choice.
Gay.
It's a choice.
I think it's a learned behavior, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You see it.
Yes.
And you imitate it.
Yes.
Emulate it.
Exactly. That's learned behavior.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think we're taught to be masculine and we're taught to be feminine.
And let me tell you how powerful that is. Let's go gangster rap. I seen that change the world in 1988. So I knew about it here in Los Angeles, California.
Mm.
But when I went to Omaha, Nebraska in 1988, and saw the gangs with the different colors.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers don't know nothing about no gang shit out here. But it was NWA had influenced the world.
Exactly.
They had influence, and the shit just went viral. And that's the same thing with what we see now with learned behavior.
Yeah.
People see it, you know. But I do my part. If I see a man with his pants down, I'm checking that motherfucker.
Yeah.
If you got your ass out around me, I'm not going to embarrass you. Pull you to the side. I said, excuse me, my man. Can you pull your pants up?
Yeah.
Just out of respect. I just want you to pull your pants up around me, please. And it's not what you say. It's how you say it.
And it's just good. That's getting worse and worse.
Yes,
you
sir.
You got cats with these goddamn pants way down.
And they ain't even coming up over their ass and going through the airport like that. That shit is embarrassing. Yeah.
On.
That shit is embarrassing.
Right. Yeah, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Put your motherfucking pants. You hear me, youngsters?
What
pull
you
your motherfucking pants
what
up.
What do they say when you do that?
They listen.
All right, brother, I got you.
Yeah, they listen.
That's cool.
I thought of saying something like just what you said when I was standing in line. I think I was in 7-Eleven, and this dude, his pants was literally on his butt cheeks.
Yes.
I wanted to say something to the dude.
Yeah, you got to pick your pick your moments, because you don't know how a person's going to react. You got to feel a certain way. But remember, it's not what you say.
It's how you say it.
It's how you say it.
Yeah.
If you come up like you're trying to do that, but if you talk polite, and all this kind of stuff, you're good. Now, guys, I got to get ready to run.
Yeah.
I have another appointment I have to tend to. Then I got to get up early in the morning
all
take
right.
this my daughter to school.
Well,
I
don't
want no kind
the
of
Chronicles, y'all just heard old Mr. T.K. Kirkland, man. And like I said, I knew this guy was gonna bring it to us. And
I really enjoyed it.
I really appreciate
it. The energy was just amazing when I walked
you,
in. And I do shows like this once a year. And I would, when I come back next year to talk about my book, I'm going to drop my book next year. And I'm finally excited about that. I'm dropping another special. I might just call that motherfucker T to the motherfucker K. I
got
to see how I feel with it. And I'm dropping a special every year because my goal is just to outwork motherfuckers.
Now, before you go, tell us about your podcast and where people can find your show at.
Yes, you can find me at Instagram is TK_Kirkland. The podcast is called the TK Kirkland Podcast on Sound. What am I on? Loudspeaker. On Loudspeaker. And you can find it on iTunes, etc. This weekend, if you're in Atlanta, Georgia, let me tell you something. This is one of the greatest honors ever. I'm receiving the Red Fox Humor Award.
Was that right?
In Atlanta, Georgia, Emma Club, yes. Special guest Cat Williams, D.L. Hughley, Eddie Griffin, make a special appearances. And it's just a great thing. And the reason why it's a great thing, because when I started comedy in 1985, I had a bad bitch on breathing on me. And Red Fox pulled her.
Red Fox pulled her.
How old was he at the time?
I don't know how old he was.
He was old.
He was old. Yeah. But she was a bad woman. And I was trying to holler at her. We was talking for a while. And she was on. She said, I can't see you anymore. And I said, why? She said, I'm dating Red Fox. So I can't wait to say this on stage on Saturday. And that's going to be my acceptance speech. I'm going to say, I'm accepted to receive this on this award because Red Fox, you know, play to play a pimp to pimp.
Well, before you go, who's your favorite comedian? Now that you mentioned Red Fox.
My favorite comedian. Well, here's the real thing. I came up in the game of comedy as a street dude. So I wasn't really that comedian guy. Like, there's certain things I won't do, right? I won't do a roast because I don't do the... I could talk about you in the audience, but I'm not going to sit there and let motherfuckers talk about me. I demand respect too much.
Exactly.
I'll go to the fucking gun trunk and get the gun and shoot your head if you get too serious for me, right? But if I had to say who was my favorite comedian, right now I would go with Earthquake.
Okay.
And the reason why I like Earthquake so well is because his rhythm, his style. You know, most people in positions like me, they want to say what they think the audience say, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, and not taking nothing away from those guys.
Yeah.
I just like to keep it 100 and who.
No, he's
is
funny.
It.
I saw him on one of the old Byron Allen
Earthquake
specials.
Is hilarious.
And he killed it.
And I say hilarious, man. And then after that, it's T to the motherfucking gag.
Who's the most overrated comedian?
I'm not going to get into that one.
Okay.
That'll start a war. And these kids out here are too sensitive.
They are.
To handle what I would say.
But there are a lot of comedians out there that are making millions, and I watch them and listen to them, and I'm like, you're not funny, dude.
It's
you know?
Remember when we was growing up and your parents always said, life's not fair? Life's not fair.
That's just the business, huh?
Yeah, it's not fair. That's why I say stay in your lane, play the hand that you dealt. And if you play the hand that you just start looking at the other man's hand, you get a lot further in life.
You're right, because there's a lot of them out there doing shit they shouldn't even be doing, especially when you got money.
Yes.
Why wait till you get money to be an asshole or to act stupid?
That's so true.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank all of the Gangster Chronicles listeners to listening to another episode of the Gangster Chronicles.
Yes,
we had TK Kirkland.
I really appreciate it, guys.
Be sure you go hit him up.
Hit me, TK_Kirkland.
And if you're in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, you're at the Emerald Club. And on November 23rd, if you hit me on Instagram, I'll give you tickets to the event. Like I said, TK_Kirkland, and we out of here. And may your pain be champagne, y'all.
And thanks a lot for everyone out there. And I didn't get to talk to him. I wanted to talk to TK about the way he roasts people in the audience, but maybe we'll
get
that
do it real quick.
We'll get another.
Yeah, we can do it. Yeah, my word.
Man, because when you roast someone in the audience or a heckler, that's all off the dome.
It's all
right?
off the dome.
Yeah.
Because I don't be telling jokes.
Exactly.
That should be for real in a motherfucker.
And I don't think I've seen anybody roast a heckler like you have.
Yeah, I take pride in it. And, you know, I really do. And, like, believe it or not, if I don't get two or three people or four people to leave my show, I ain't do my job. Because my show is so real that it'll go in your gut. They can't take it. And they wind up leaving that motherfucker.
I don't know why anyone would even take a chance of saying something to you during a show.
They still do it.
Even with the YouTube videos out there and everything.
Some people come in unprepared, and I get them.
They think they funny until they get in there and get to running their mouth.
Right, and then I got you.
Bye-bye.
Man, just the hecklers is a show. Yeah. What you say to the hecklers? And now probably a lot of them haven't been video documented throughout your career,
right? I totally
agree.
I really wish I had did more of that. There's a lot of amazing events, a lot of amazing things happening.
All right, man, I don't want to hold you up anymore because I can sit here and talk to you for another hour. TK Kirkland.
We'll be back.
And that's another episode of the Gangster Chronicles, and we are out.
Peace!
This has been a Digital Soapbox Network production.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.